Hi there, and welcome to session 18 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to talk about meat chickens and getting started raising a flock that you can later harvest for food. So we'll cover different breeds and their advantages, and when it comes to breeds, there's a couple of things you should take into consideration, and we'll get into that. We'll also talk about how to approach the emotions about raising meat birds, as well as what you'll need to be successful. We'll also talk about the whys, meaning why raise meat birds at all, and some of the more difficult aspects of raising meat birds that tend to come up from time to time. This will be a valuable episode that's full of advice that you can use today. Just as a reminder, you can get this episode's show notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast18. That's podcast 18. So stay with me. So first, let's talk about the why. Why raise meat birds in the first place? And this certainly isn't for everyone, and while there's nothing wrong with keeping chickens as pets, if you plan to raise them for self-sufficiency, then deciding to raise chickens for meat will be a bridge that you'll need to decide if you want to cross at some point. I can't tell you why you should raise chickens for meat, because it's truly an individual decision, but I'll tell you why I do. I like knowing where my food comes from, and I like knowing that they've led a good life before they became food for my family. All the chickens on our farm have access to sun, good quality food, the ability to dust bathe, hang out with each other, and just be chickens before they're harvested. So they have the opportunity to live a good life before they're harvested. For me, knowing the quality of their life was the best that it could be, to me is more meaningful than just going to the grocery store to buy whatever is there, because it avoids the inconvenience of having to face death in the face. With some of the issues going on in the food industry in this country, namely that, for example, the meat industry is no longer required to label country of origin for meat, and the meat industry is allowed to ship U.S. bred and raised birds out of the country for processing. For example, they're allowed to send them out to China for processing. Personally, I just don't want to buy or eat meat from the grocery store if I can help it. Now, for some meat, like beef, I can't help it because we haven't started to raise beef cattle yet. But for chicken, I can because I'm able to raise them myself. Now, you might find that you want to raise meat birds for different reasons than I do, and that's perfectly fine. As you start your journey, you'll have to decide what those reasons are for yourself, and it truly is a personal decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. Now, let's move on to breeds. So when it comes to chickens to raise for meat, you have some options, namely whether you want to go with a hybrid or heritage breed. There's advantages and disadvantages to each. Hybrids typically are bred to grow larger in a shorter period of time. They require less feed to get to harvest weight, which is another advantage. There's obviously financial advantages to raising hybrids, but some people don't like them for reasons that we'll go into in a minute. Now, your other option is to raise a heritage breed chicken. And by heritage breed, I mean a purebred bird of an established breed that's been recognized by the American Poultry Association. And, you know, a breed that's bred to consistently yield the same kind of birds with the same sort of coloring and everything. These birds are usually hardier, and there's also, you know, really a nice ring to saying that you raise heritage breed chickens for meat. You know, there's a lot of options, and we'll talk about a few different options for heritage breeds and why they're good for meat. Now, the disadvantage to raising heritage breeds, and on our farm, you know, we've bred both and we've harvested both, so I know that there's, you know, a lot of the advantages and disadvantages of each option here. But the disadvantage to heritage breeds is that they're also developed as dual-purpose birds, meaning that they're developed for eggs and meat. So they're usually smaller, they take a lot longer to reach harvest weight. These are some issues that you might run into. While hybrid birds are ready anywhere from about 10 weeks to 20 weeks in my experience, in order to have a sizable heritage breed chicken that, you know, you can harvest for the meat and have enough meat to actually have a real meal, that can take up to a year. Heritage breeds also, they tend to taste a bit different than some of the heavier hybrids. Some people prefer the taste, some people don't. Some people find heritage birds a little bit tougher, some people don't. Compared to some hybrid birds though, they're also healthier and they tend to lead better lives during the time that you have them. So some people just prefer to raise them because of that. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with raising either hybrids or heritage breeds. Like I said, I've raised both, and you'll have good, serviceable meat either way. This is simply about preference and what you prefer. Now, my pro tip with meat birds, with the exception of Cornish crosses, is to try to raise only roosters. And I do have a particular reason for this. And that's, first off, roosters get bigger than hens. So for the same amount of food, you're going to get a pound or two of meat. And by the same amount of food, I mean the same amount of food that you're going to feed your chickens. You're going to get more meat if you raise roosters. Now, the other reason I say to raise roosters is I think that roosters, by and large, are easier to part with when it comes time to harvest them. When it comes to hen, there's always that little voice in the back of your head, or at least for me, there's always a little voice in the back of my head that goes, but she can lay eggs. So when it comes to harvest time for hens, this makes it a little bit harder, I think, for me at least. But when you have 50 roosters and they're all fighting each other, and it's time to harvest, things get a little bit less emotional. You don't really need so many roosters, and you know, more than the bare minimum of roosters in any flock, it becomes a pretty big management issue as they start to get older and they get territorial. And you know, if you haven't yet raised meat birds, just trust me on this, you'll have a better time raising roosters. If you're concerned that you're going to get attached or that you're going to start looking for other jobs you can give them to avoid killing them, then raising roosters is probably your best option. You're going to get a better bang for your buck, and their attitudes will make it easier to use them for what you initially intended. Now, logistically speaking, another option in order to avoid some of the emotional aspects of keeping meat chickens is to simply keep your meat chickens away from your layers if possible. So have two separate coops, and that can give you a nice mental separation between the ones you're going to keep and the ones that you'll eventually say goodbye to. For me, the easiest way to raise meat chickens from a psychological standpoint is to raise Cornish crosses, and we're going to get a little bit more into this. But once they start to reach a certain weight, you'll begin to see the quality of their lives declining, and for me, that makes it a little bit easier. So now let's talk about breeds. When it comes to breeds of chickens to raise for meat, like we said, you have a few options. The chickens that you see in the grocery store, those are Cornish crosses usually, and these birds are a hybrid between Cornish birds, which are broad-breasted, and this is what gives the Cornish crosses of today their characteristic large breasts that, you know, Americans prefer, and they've been crossed with meat birds like Plymouth Rocks that are larger. Now, Cornish crosses have a bad reputation among chicken owners as sort of quote-unquote freak birds. And part of that reputation is because they're bred to grow so quickly that they tend to have a lot of health issues as a breed. Personally, if you raise them right and don't allow them to overeat, if you let them exercise, you'll have a lot less issues than somebody who doesn't control their environment. Personally, I've never really had an issue raising Cornish crosses except in issues like extreme weather. Now, one reason I like to raise Cornish crosses for meat is because, and I'll just be honest here, for me, they're easier to harvest. And this is my advice to someone who's starting out with meat birds and is afraid that they're going to get attached. So Cornish crosses have a hard time surviving past a certain age. We've had some Cornish crosses get to be about a year old, but it's really not a good idea to let them live that long. Ours didn't really have a hard time walking because we let them get out and exercise, but they were so heavy that they were a target for our other birds, like our roosters, for example. And, you know, really all that they sort of did was just waddle around. I think that they survived that long because I don't overfeed them and I made them exercise. But in the end, they still are going to have a shorter lifespan than most other chickens. But that being said, our Cornish crosses grew to be about 25 pounds. And although they were really the sweetest birds I've probably ever owned, they did need help with things like walking up steps, and I had to keep an eye on them when they were outside free ranging so they didn't get picked up by a predator, since, you know, they really can't run to defend themselves. They're too large to run anywhere. When it comes to Cornish crosses, and you see what they turn into if they live longer than they're bred for, it's really easy to understand that their lives naturally come to an end at a certain time, and you're not really cutting their lives short by butchering them at 10 weeks. The bottom line is that you're giving them a good life, which will come to its natural and expected end. Allowing them to live longer will mean that they'll die anyways, and probably from something worse than being humanely butchered, and they'll probably die of something like a heart attack, getting caught by a predator, and not only have they lost their lives, but you've also lost all your hard work. The other issue with Cornish crosses and allowing them to live longer than intended is that they start to get very big, like we said, and this can lead to issues of trying to maneuver around all that fat and meat in order to butcher them, you know, removing the entrails, etc. So there's nothing wrong with raising Cornish crosses. I do it myself, and I prefer them. But these are sort of the insider quirks that you should know before choosing a breed of meat bird to raise this spring. So really, my pro tip with Cornish crosses is that when you get attached, Remember why you bought them in the first place and that you're really better off harvesting them, and it's really better off for them to harvest them. Another option, if you don't want to go with Cornish crosses, and not everyone does, is going with a meat bird like Red Rangers or some other crosses that these hatcheries develop. These are hybrids that are meant to grow to a harvestable weight faster than heritage breeds, but slower than Cornish crosses. They're meant to get to be a good weight, about 8 pounds or so usually, and they don't have the same health issues that Cornish crosses have a reputation for, meaning they don't have issues with growing, you know, so fat that their legs can't handle the weight, they don't get fluid around the heart, etc. Red Rangers in particular are meant to be harvested around 10 weeks, although in my experience, you're better off waiting a little bit longer. In the end, that's not a bad thing because at least in my area, you don't want to harvest your chickens in the summer because of flies and such. Some people do, but I found it's better to just wait until, you know, November, December, in order to harvest them so you don't have to deal with the heat and the bugs and everything. So, you know, hybrid birds like Red Rangers, they don't have the health issues that Cornish crosses do. And so for some people, they're preferable to raise because they're quote unquote less likely to die. Any chicken can die at any time, but, you know, Red Rangers, they're not going to have problems with things like heart attacks. At the same time, when it comes time to harvest them, things can get a little bit more emotional, largely because they are so healthy. So that's one thing to remember when it comes to hybrids like Red Rangers. They're a very good option and the one that I'll probably turn to this spring as an experiment. But you have to remember why you got them and not lose your nerve to butcher them at the last minute. Now for heritage breeds, you know, let's look at some of your options. Pretty much any heritage breed will work since they're historically bred to be for both eggs and for the table. On our farm, we've raised heritage breeds like Buff Orpingtons, Rhode Island Reds, Plymouth Rocks, and Delawares. Out of these, the Delawares and the Plymouth Rocks have grown the best. Now, with the Rhode Island Reds, they grew well, but it's been kind of hit or miss about whether they'll grow to a good size. Some did and some didn't, and some grew to be maybe about like 3 or 4 pounds, and they ate the same amount as the other breeds. The Buff Orpingtons grew to a good size also, but they seemed to weigh less than the Delawares. So if I were to pick a heritage breed to raise, it probably would be like the Delawares because of their size, and also because they have, in my opinion, whiter skin, which if you're a person who's concerned about your food's aesthetics, then that might make a difference. Cornish crosses, for example, can have yellowish skin, which can be kind of off-putting. I found Delawares, or at least the ones that, you know, that I raised, they didn't really have that as a problem. Now, another option for a heritage breed, if you want to try something different, are Silkies. Silkies are from China, and they're part of the cuisine from that part of the world. And you can usually find Silky chickens for sale at Asian supermarkets. You know, they're in a bag and, you know, they're dead, but you can usually find them for sale as food at Asian supermarkets. Silkies have black skin, so they're not really personally for me. I grew up in America. I find the color of their skin kind of off-putting, but at the same time, meat is meat, and Silkies are considered to be a delicacy in, you know, certain parts of the world. They're also smaller birds, so you can expect a much lower harvest weight, but they also eat less. It'll take longer than a Cornish cross, for example, before your Silkies are at a harvestable weight. And the other thing about Silkies that you should probably know before trying to raise them for meat is that they're very friendly birds and it's very easy to get attached to them. So that's just a bit of a pro tip behind the scenes sort of look at Silkies. So now that we talked about breeds, let's touch a little bit on some of the tools that you're going to need. Raising meat chickens is no different than other chickens for the most part, you know, chickens that you might be raising for eggs. You're best off buying them as chicks, so you'll need, you know, feeders that are easy to clean, waterers, some sort of brooder, as well as a coop for as they get, you know, bigger. As for coops, anything will suffice as long as it keeps them dry and out of the elements. You'll need to provide them with feed, either homemade or commercial, and just remember that you are what you eat, so if you don't want to eat GMOs, then don't feed your chickens GMOs. Now, with your meat chickens, you should feed them a regular ration. You know, again, you can either go with something commercial or homemade, rather than letting them forage. You'll get better tasting meat because weird flavors from whatever they happen to pick up to eat, those weird flavors won't get into them, and they'll also grow better. You'll have a better shot at getting them to a harvestable weight quicker. Chickens, when left to forage, in my experience, they might reach harvest weight, or they might be smaller because they're running around looking for food and getting who knows how many calories a day. They also might be a little bit tougher. You're better off, and I think you'll have a better experience and get more meat if you feed them some sort of meal daily. Now, as for butchering equipment, the most important thing, and I really cannot stress this enough, is to have a good quality, very sharp knife. Above all else, this is what you are going to need, because without it, you cannot humanely slaughter, and you will have a hell of a time cutting up and deboning your chicken later. Any non-serrated knife will do as long as it's very sharp. I recommend purchasing a sharpener, because as you go along in your butchering journey, your knives are going to get dull, and they'll get dull very quickly. I sharpen mine before every cut when butchering a chicken, meaning I cut up a carcass, in order to make sure that the knife is as sharp as possible. And again, this goes for whether you're actually slaughtering or just cutting up meat to eat for dinner. You also want a sharp knife when you're boning or cutting up meat to reduce damage to your food. And like I said, it also just makes it easier. So that's it for today's episode. When it comes to meat chickens, I do encourage you to raise them responsibly. It's not, you know, and don't be afraid to raise them. It's not hard, and it's actually really rewarding being able to harvest your own meat. And although it can be a little sad at first, really in the end, you know, it's better knowing that they had a good life and a much better life than the meat you're going to be buying at the grocery store otherwise. Raising them is no harder than raising chickens for eggs, and I really think you'll find it just as rewarding. Now, if you're interested in learning to raise chickens for self-sufficiency, you can grab my free tip sheet on the blog at thefrugalchicken.com/meatchickenchecklist. Thanks again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.